How many of us have made a 2021 New Year's resolutions list? Not many. Oh, that's interesting. It is the tradition, but it seems to be waning amongst us, which is interesting. Okay, right. So some people might have some thoughts, but yeah, whether or not you've written them down, yeah, fair enough. Nice. Awesome. Indeed, yes. Well done. Excellent. So I often find there is something incredibly cathartic about the ticking over of that one digit at the end of the year, or sometimes two, of course. And if there was ever a year that deserved catharsis, it was last year, right? When you think about last year, what are your lingering memories, thoughts, or feelings? What opportunities did you miss out on? What opportunities, because of what happened last year, are you missing out on? And what are you putting in place because of those missed opportunities? Is this adding stress or frustration already so early on in the year? I wonder if any of us, between Peter and I, hopefully we'll be able to figure this one out. I'm messing it up. How many of you saw this meme this week? 2020 was a very strange year. Day 6 of 2021? Now, I try not to get wrapped up in the hot mess that is US politics, but this did make me chuckle. I try, but actually I really fail at not getting wrapped up. So leading to the end of last year, I had been thinking a lot about the release that often comes with a new year, that catharsis. And it was so easy for me to relax into a new year over December 31st into the early minutes of 21. Very old, I don't stay very long. But it was so easy to avoid or not think about the unrest that was going on in our own country. What would be a six-day standoff had started in a prison up north. And so you think of those prisoners' New Year's resolutions. Clean water to drink. Clean clothes to wear. Would those have been the things on their list? And then we have this clown here. Was stand in the Senate chamber dressed as a Viking on his list? The irony of New Year's resolutions is how often they are ignored. So here are some of the more... If we go back here... Sorry. If you could click on PowerPoint down on the bottom, Peter, then I can... Oh, I've just gone. Please hold, caller. Yes, here we go. So here are some of the more popular ones. Exercise more. Lose weight. Be more organized. Be still more. Learn a new skill or hobby. Live life to the fullest. Save more money. Spend less money, and there is a difference. Rest more. Spend more time with family and friends. Travel more. Read more. To be honest, though, and I think it probably comes across in all of us, I'm not a fan of New Year's resolutions, mainly because they are more often a source of should-haves, could-haves, and therefore sources of pressure, shame, or guilt. And to be honest, I don't need any of those. And as I've been thinking about us as a community of churches over the past couple of weeks particularly, I've been reflecting on God's invitation for us to rest in God's loving arms, to be still and know that God is God and we are not. It's these two ideas in the middle of the resolutions that I think God is inviting us to reflect on and practice going into this new year. Be still and rest. Be still more. Rest more. This has been brewing for me for a while, although I didn't know it. If any of you were at the combined service up at Island Bay Presbyterian back in October, I think it was, Nathan was preaching through the Ten Commandments. Maybe he was preaching through Exodus, those of you who were there. Presbyterians, is that what he did last year, preached through Exodus? Yep, thank you, excellent. And the week that we were together, he looked at the Ten Commandments. And this prompted me to look a little bit more at them. And I found myself getting drawn to commandment number 4. God was capturing my attention with it. Now, you might be aware that the Ten Commandments are listed twice in the Bible, the first in Exodus and the second in Deuteronomy. There's also a partial list in Leviticus, but that just complicates things. So we won't go there today. Now, the lists are almost identical, with one significant difference in commandment number 4, which is the one about Sabbath. So I'm going to read the Exodus version first, and then we'll go on to the Deuteronomy version. So Exodus 20:8-11 says, "Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath and made it holy." Okay, so that's Exodus. See if you notice the difference in Deuteronomy. "Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your ox, your donkey, or any of your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns, so that your male and female servants may rest as you do. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day." The key difference? God rested, yes. Yep. So that's one of them. Yep. Yes, so the reason for the command is different. So the first, in Exodus, it's because of God's created order. In Deuteronomy, it's because of God's deliverance from slavery. Two very different reasons for the same command. And I wonder if there's something in this for us this year. Now, as a parent of 2 children under 4, I have to admit, and this is not a complaint, it's just an observation, that rest is something that is not the easiest thing to come by. For me, a restful day is one that I don't have to do anything. I don't have to get up out of bed for any particular reason, apart from maybe my addiction to coffee. So where I have no responsibilities, I can choose what I want to do and when I want to do it. Now, these days are few and far between, but as grace would have it, I had one of those this week. I had an entire 24-hour period to myself while the rest of the family went to visit grandparents. It was glorious. Now, I love my family very much, but it was lovely to have that time to myself. I finished a book that I'd been reading for I don't know how long. I had a coffee when I could be bothered getting up. I watched TV. I played some games on PlayStation. Ironically, I couldn't get to sleep when I tried to go to sleep at a normal hour and was still wide awake when I'm normally awake when Alia wakes up at 6:30, but it was still, I didn't have to get straight out of bed, and so ultimately I 100%, maybe more than that, owe Pratika for that day. But there were a couple of things I noticed about that period of time. Firstly, how easy it was to waste it. Through the lack of responsibility, I was able to sit scrolling through my phone while eating pizza and watching a comedy special on Netflix. All of a sudden, 2 hours had passed, and I wasn't necessarily feeling any more rested. I realized that not having something to do is not something that is in and of itself restful. I had to be intentional. I had to choose to use the time to rest. Otherwise, it was just new information going in, and potentially, even though I had chosen to do it, it was just adding to my tiredness or fatigue. I had to consciously choose while I was reading that book to notice and enjoy the warmth of the sun as I read. And that made me think of that first reason God gave for Sabbath rest, creation. Rest is designed into the rhythms of life, given to us as a gift by God. I know many people who say they connect much more with God in creation than they do in here in a church. And that is something to affirm, I think. Creation was and is God's first way of showing us who God is. The beauty that we encounter in the world around us shows us something of the beauty of God. Engaging with and enjoying this beauty and finding it rejuvenating was something that God intended in the way this world works. How often are we too busy to notice this, though? In order to notice that, we are invited to be still. I have noticed that being still isn't natural for many of us, certainly not me. Those words we see and heard in Psalm 46, "Be still and know that I am God," are becoming more profound to me as time goes on. It reminds me that when I am still, that I am not the one who will fix everything, who is going to solve the issues that I see in life. It reminds me that God is God and I am not. When I'm reminded of this, I can rest easier. God is the one who is drawing all of creation back to God's self. And while we are all called to participate, it is God's work we are participating in. We need to take the time to remember this. That is why we're commanded to rest, to take this concept of rest and Sabbath seriously. Where do you find rest? What does being still look like for you? How can you make sure these are a priority if they're not, this year? How about the Deuteronomy reason for taking rest? God reminded the ancient people that their deliverance from slavery was the reason for this command. Because of that deliverance, they were called to ensure that they didn't enslave others, nor remain in slavery themselves. If we stop to think of slavery and its effects, and the effects of slavery in our world today, it doesn't bode well for rest, does it? As God's people, we should be actively working against any and all situations that have people enslaved or rectify issues that historic slavery has brought. And while I can't ignore the trouble in the analogy, this is not a message about that today. So that being said, what does God's deliverance look like for us? Perhaps there are addictions, habits, attitudes, grudges, or unforgiveness that we are holding on to, that take up space in our hearts and minds, that are preventing us from rest. What areas in your life come to mind with that list? Some of those will be within your control, some of those will not. But what do you need to do to acknowledge those things, those habits, addictions, attitudes, grudges, or unforgiveness? What do you need to do to begin a process of allowing God to deliver you from them? This isn't easy, and certainly in most cases not something that happens overnight. But God invites us to rest, and perhaps in our rest we can find space in our hearts and minds to allow God to begin that process. What areas in your life do you need to be freed from in order to rest well? What do you need to begin a process of allowing God to work in those areas? Whether it's finding something in the beauty of creation or any other way that you feel refreshed, or beginning a process of being freed from what is holding you captive, I pray that this year, with all of its mess and its uncertainty, that you would know the rest of God, that you would find new ways or continue favourite ways of being refreshed and rested, so that you would know the love, grace, and rest that can only be found in God, who is present with us by the Spirit of the risen Christ. Let's pray. God, when we stop to notice that rest is one of the commandments, it's easy to think how easy it is to ignore that one. There's so many things that take our attention and our time, but you invite us, you command us to take that time to rest, to recover, to be still, and know that you are God. As this year continues, would each of us here know your rest? Not to create apathy, but so that we may participate in your reconciling work with you. Jesus' name we pray. One of the things we do here as well is take some time to reflect on some of the questions that I have been raising. It's a little tricky to see, but we're going to take a few minutes, maybe 5 minutes, and there are some questions there. You can respond how you want to this. You're welcome to sit and engage with those questions. There's scripture if you want to read more. You're welcome to come and light a candle that represents your prayers, or write a prayer that you want to peg up, and that remains as a symbol of our ongoing prayers. For those of us who are regular here, you can bring your offering up into the offering box there too. So where do you find rest? How are you at being still? And how can you make these more of a priority this year? What areas in your life do you need to be freed from in order to rest well? And what do you need to begin a process of allowing God to work in those areas? So take this time, and there'll be some music playing shortly in the background, but please respond as you feel comfortable.